Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Listen. Melanie Cole's Health Radio is on now.
Yes, it is. And my guest today is Joelle Castix. She's an author and she's taken her own experience as a victim of child sex crimes and devoted her career to exposing abuse, advocating on behalf of survivors and spreading abuse prevention strategies for parents and communities. And that's what we're doing here today. Welcome to the show, Joelle. This is something that, as a parent of two children, is something we all think about when we're going to have children. Is somebody going to victimize my child? Is this something, how can I protect my child? So I'd like to go through a few myths that people may have, misconceptions about child abuse, and then talk about some real usable things, red flags and things that parents can do to help keep their children safe. So give us a few of the myths that you hear the most that really drive you crazy.
Okay, you know, the number one myth is the myth of stranger danger. And while I always advocate that you need to make sure that your child doesn't go anywhere with strangers and doesn't, talk to strangers and things like that, the real predators are the people that you know and you trust. And so in my work, what I do is we really need to make sure that parents understand the signs of grooming. And grooming is how a child sex predator basically weeds out the children who are not vulnerable and targets the kids who have low self-esteem and who need positive reinforcement. And those are the kids that predators will end up sexually abusing. And so I always make sure I tell parents, this is, yes, teach your children self-defense. Make sure they don't talk to strangers and things like that. But most importantly, understand the signs and symptoms of grooming, because 97% of child sexual abuse is perpetrated by someone the child loves and trusts.
So one of the myths that I always find interesting is that, you know, they say children are smarter today and that they are smart enough to scream or walk away from an abuser. But that's kind of a big myth, isn't it? Because kids, things scare kids. And this is one of those creepy things that kids don't quite know what to do, even if they've been prepped.
Exactly, because child sex predators are very, very cunning, and they spend a lot of time grooming a child, and that they use flattery, manipulation, gifts, attention. They devote time to the child so that by the time the sexual abuse starts, body boundaries and sexual boundaries have been blurred. So a vast majority of child sexual abuse is not done by the threat of force. The child simply does not know what to do. They have been so manipulated into being a compliant victim that they don't know what to do. And then they are so ashamed by what happened. That's why child sexual abuse is so seldom reported.
So with all the sexuality on TV and in the movies and such, is abuse on the rise because of this? Is it because of the short shorts all the little girls are wearing now? Is anything they're doing putting this more in the spotlight?
You know, the reason that we are hearing more and more about child sexual abuse is because over the past 10 to 15 years, survivors have become strong enough to tell their stories. We've also passed very, very victim-friendly laws in many states that allow older victims to come forward and use the civil courts to expose their abuse and to hold people accountable. And because of that, and because older survivors have come forward and said things, like in the Catholic Church and in the Boy Scouts and in the Sandusky case, younger victims, they see firsthand that it's okay to report. And so that's why we're seeing more and more of it. I believe that in my anecdotal experience, I believe that instances of child sexual abuse are actually going down. And the reason is because we have a much greater awareness of the problem. Parents are educating themselves much more as to what the issue is. We are telling children it's okay to report and it's okay to talk about abuse. And law enforcement is far more willing to actually pursue these cases and to do them in a way that is friendly towards the child. So, you know, we still need to remain vigilant, and we still need to educate and empower our children, and we still need to educate ourselves. But I believe that the instances of child sexual abuse we will see over the next 20 to 30 years will go down significantly, because I believe we're beginning to break the cycle in the United States.
So tell us more about breaking that cycle. What do you want parents to know, Joelle, that they can do? I mean, communication certainly is a key. We do a show here for the American Academy of Pediatrics every week, and we talk about some of these things. But since you are so ingrained in this and a victim yourself, what do you want parents to look for and or communicate to their children prophylactically to prevent this?
Well, the number one thing, as you said, that a parent can do with their child is communicate. And that means asking open-ended questions, not just yes and no questions. Truly being engaged in what their child is doing, who their child is interacting with, who their peer group is, and the adults that are taking action in their lives. Another very important thing is we need to take control of technology. The number one way that predators are now targeting older kids is through the use of technology. Cell phones, computers, tablets, Xboxes, any internet-enabled device. And while parents tend to think, oh, I can't control what my child does, it is very easy to control a child's technology. And there are very simple rules that all parents can do. Number one, have no technology in private areas of the home. Cell phones and computers should not be in children's bedrooms. They should always be in common areas of the home. Parents should take the view that cell phones, tablets, computers, gaming devices belong to the parent and not the child. And therefore, it's okay to monitor these devices. It's okay to see what goes on. It's okay to look at what texting is happening. Because if you do that, you're not only protecting your child, but you're monitoring for child sexual abuse, for bullying, and for other issues that your child may not be ready to tell you about. And so that's, you know, I'm always like, you know, you need to take control of technology. And with younger kids, I'm very, very adamant about teaching your child the correct names of all of their body parts and telling them that and making sure that they are never forced to hug or kiss an adult they don't want to. Because the more we enforce strong body boundaries in our children and empower them with strong and good language that doesn't minimize or shame their body parts, then they grow up into older children and adults who know that it is not okay to have their body violated, and it is not okay for an adult to blur those sexual boundaries.
I think that's great advice about the communication and the technology, because as you say, there's so many different ways now that parents never would have even thought about before, you know, for people, predators, to be able to get in touch with our children. And also, I'm one of those moms who it is imperative that I get to look at their texts and I get to be involved in friends on Facebook or whatever, because I want to see what's going on. What can you do in the community? We only have less than a minute left, Joelle. What do you want people to do in the community to help out with this endeavor?
Support victims of child sexual abuse and begin the dialogue. Because, like, for example, in the Duggar case, so many people were there to dismiss that child-on-child sexual abuse could happen. But it does happen. And we need to stay alert, and we need to listen to our children when they try to tell us things. Because sexual abuse can happen anywhere. And the number one way to stop it is by speaking up and speaking out for victims.
Great, great information. I applaud you and your work, Joelle. Thank you so much for being with us. And you can see more at castix.com. That's castix.com. And, you know, as a community, we have to be involved. These are our children and these are our future. And if something happens to them, well, that's our job, is to protect them. So let's join in this fight together, because fighting child abuse is one of the top priorities that we should have as parents, as communities. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Melanie Cole's Health Radio Show. I'm just getting used to the new name. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned and stay well.